Hello and welcome to Bidfood's Talking Food Podcast. This is Bidfood's podcast series where I, Joe Anglis, talk to people from across the industry and from our business to provide you with expert opinions and insight on the latest in the industry. For this episode, we're discussing how the market has developed since lockdown restrictions eased for hospitality on the 4th of July. As part of this, I'm excited to say that I'll be joined by Carl Chessel, who heads up the business unit for food and retail at CGA. We'll be discussing the latest insights into how consumer behaviour has developed and changed over the last few weeks and months. I will then be joined by Ajith Jayawikrima. He's the founder of not only one, but two highly successful restaurant brands, Latin American chain Las Iguanas and Turtle Bay, the Caribbean influence chain. There's loads to cover with this one, so without further ado, let's get it started. Joining me now to give us an overview of all the things that are happening in the market currently from CGA is Carl Chessel. Welcome to the podcast series, Carl.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
What can you tell us about what you do for CGA?
So I look after a couple of different teams focused on food service and on operators, so pub, bar and restaurant operators. And we work with them really closely on data partnerships, so to help them understand not just their performance, but their performance in the context of the market, to help them understand their consumers and also what their consumers are doing when they're not with them. So we do quite a lot of different solutions. I won't bore you with all of those, but in essence, it's all around those two sort of business areas of food service and operators.
So with things sort of opening back up now, how have you personally found things since lockdown restrictions started to ease?
I've enjoyed it, to be honest. I think I was getting a bit stir crazy in the house. So I think, you know, when the 4th of July came, I couldn't wait to get out and enjoy a nice beer garden. And so, yeah, for me, it's been good. It's been a sense of normality. Obviously, nothing's quite the same as it was, but just to sort of get back to some semblance of going out, of being around other people, that I found that really, really energising. And obviously, because everything that we do at CGA is all about the out-of-home sector,
yeah,
it's also been really exciting from a business perspective, seeing our operators reopen.
Yeah, it's quite a strange feeling when things are starting to pick back up now, isn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's strange, that first visit, and I think we're seeing this in our consumer research, that first visit, there is a bit of uncertainty amongst people, but I think once they've had that first visit, have felt safe in the environment and sort of recreated those social experiences that many people have missed, I think people have been encouraged to sort of return back. But yeah, it's going to be slow and steady, isn't it, for all of us, I think.
So how would you say that the market has performed since restrictions were lifted?
Yeah, the market, it's a complicated question, that. It's a simple question, but it's a complicated answer. I think generally a lot of people have exceeded expectations and focusing on positives, like for likes through, so we create a cohort to measure the market called Coffer Peach Business Tracker. And there's nearly 60 operators in there, around 10,000 managed venues. It's a really robust read on the market. And we've seen through July, week on week, like-for-like sales improving. So compared to July 19, sort of to the end of July 2020, like-for-likes were around 25% down versus a year ago, which under normal circumstances would be pretty disastrous. But I think given where we've come from, I think there's some encouragement there. I think the one thing to flag, though, is a lot of venues are still closed. So, you know, nearly 90% of pubs are open now, but a lot of restaurants are still closed. And so we've actually produced a report that's been released this week for the whole of July. And we've seen that total sales are around 50% for the whole market versus what they were in July 2019. So that's still quite a significant gap.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, we've seen like for likes improving, which is really positive, but I think there's still a long road ahead.
Is there anything that you would say has shone out as being popular for consumers? Is it like pubs or is it restaurants? Or what would you say that consumers are looking to do now that lockdown, well, the restrictions are eased up?
Yeah, I think, I don't think it's necessarily so much pubs versus restaurants. I mean, we've certainly seen pubs opening faster, as I mentioned, so there's perhaps been less choice for restaurants. I think we've seen a few sort of trends about consumers staying local, so that's been popular, obviously some of that driven by changing working patterns, people working from home more often, but I think also concerns about going to busy crowded areas and people wanting to stay in areas that are familiar. Generally safety has been a priority now. It was, in terms of drivers of people's choice of venue, it was top 10 prior to lockdown, but it's now number one, so understandable given what everyone's been through, that people's safety is going to be absolutely paramount. And I think the sector's done an amazing job there. we work really closely with UK Hospitality and Yumpingo on an initiative called We Hear You. And that's been sort of capturing in moment sentiment and how people have been reassured about safety. And the scores coming out of that are consistently sort of 90% plus. So I think the sector's done amazing there. I think the other sort of things that have been popular, I mean, delivery was really popular. It was growing in popularity pre-lockdown, it grew in popularity during lockdown. And we're now seeing that make up sort of double digit sales for many sort of pub restaurants and restaurant groups. So I think that's another thing to sort of highlight, really, that, you know, it was something that existed beforehand, but I think has been magnified during this process. And I think will continue.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think there's a certain sort of age group that are more confident? I imagine it's going to be the sort of younger generation that are more confident to go out into these places, is it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, so younger people definitely. If we're sort of putting broad buckets, there's a sort of core loyal segments of the population as well that go and eat out and drink out frequently. So we have a segmentation with names like Trending Tastemakers, Confident Conformists, and these are the sort of people that eat and drink out regularly. They've been quicker to return, but you're right, age has also been a key driver, of course.
Have you seen any sort of consumer habits changing? Obviously, I've seen lots of talk about people wanting to be healthier diets, etc. Has that sort of developed into what people are actually buying when they're going out now, do you know?
Yeah, I think health's a good one. I think, again, something that was growing as a trend pre-lockdown, but we've seen people exercising a lot more. Obviously, it was one of the things that Boris encouraged during lockdown. So I think health is definitely something that has grown and I think will continue to grow. I think generally people have just been happy to get back out and enjoying the kind of social side of eating and drinking out. And there is an indulgent element to that, of course, but yeah. Health is a driver. As I mentioned, that sort of staying local, I think, is definitely a kind of key driver. The other thing is digital. So, again, something that's not new, but people pre-ordering tables, obviously that's been encouraged through as the markets reopened, people using payment apps, but people using apps to order food and drink when they're in venue as well. So that kind of digital consumer experience has definitely grown as well, and we may see some of these trends continue now as we move forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for my example, I mean, I never thought I'd see my mum getting an app to order things off a pub because she's such a technophobe.
Yeah, it's sort of forced the hand of certain people. Yeah. I think so. It's accelerated trends that were already out there, but you're right. It's certainly ensured that certain segments of the population have had to engage with that technology, even track and trace. Obviously, that some of that is paper and pen, but yeah. Certainly technology is playing a role here, and it is also playing a role in delivery. And people have also sort of during lockdown experienced the sector through different channels. So yeah. Obviously, delivery is one, but we've seen sort of food kits, sort of menus being available online. People like Coates and Hawksmoor sort of delivering chilled food so that people could cook it at home. And I think, again, these sort of omni-channel experiences, brands that are understandably struggling with revenues at the moment are going to focus on these new revenue channels and see if they can continue to maximise those now that restaurants are open again.
Absolutely, yeah. On the first week of trading in the Help Out to Eat Out scheme, it was the busiest Monday of the year. How important do you think this is going to be for the industry?
I think it's given a real boost. As you say, the trading last week was phenomenal at the start of the week. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sort of week-on-week sales were around 100% on food. Yeah. So, you know, nearly double the week before. We even saw, you know, in certain days that sales were up versus the year before. So I think it's given a boost. There was some concern about what it would do to weekend trade, and that seems to have held up. So undoubtedly, you know, looking at it as a whole in this initial stage, it's a positive. And I think throughout August, it will continue to be there. I suppose the question is, what happens after that? The good thing that we've seen for some consumer research we did last week and the start of this week is that it's encouraged a lot of first-time returners to the market. So around 39% of people that have used the scheme have been people coming back to the sector. And that's really exciting because it's, you know, obviously encouraging people that have been slower to return. So I think once those people have experienced it, realise that, yes, it's different, but it's also good to be around sort of social beings and enjoy. So I think, yeah, on balance, it's the early signs are definitely good.
So this is probably going to be the hardest question, really, because who knows? But what is your thoughts going forward in terms of what will happen in the future?
Can I answer? Who knows? it's tricky because there's so many moving parts, and our job is to try and measure those different moving parts. But obviously, historically, things like weather and key events played a part. There's now real unknowns around, whether there's going to be local lockdowns, when there might be a vaccine, that obviously are going to be key triggers. So we're not making firm predictions. That said, we know the shape and size of the sector is going to be different. We know, as I said, venues have been slow to reopen, but some of those won't reopen. We've seen a lot of CVAs and administration in the restaurant sector in particular, and that will undoubtedly lead to churn. Some of those outlets won't necessarily close for good, but some will. Our business leader research is telling us that the market could be 10-20% smaller than it was. So that's going to be a key change. I think the other unknown, but we're technically in a recession now. We always knew it was coming, but what shape that recession looks like and that sort of long-term impact of unemployment on consumer spending is also a concern. So, I don't want to be overly negative. There's definitely some real challenges. I think the sector, there's a lot of love for the sector. A lot of people in our consumer research told us they couldn't wait to come back, and we've seen people return to the sector. So, we are social beings at heart. Hospitality's been around for generations, so the sector will come back. But the sector's going to need a lot of ongoing support. And I know people at UK Hospitality are lobbying for that. Others are as well. So as I mentioned, it'll be a long road to recovery, in particular for sort of large venues, late night venues. We're seeing London hit hardest as well. So it's not going to be even. There's going to be an uneven recovery. It's going to take time. But I still feel in my heart that long term, people will return to the sector. There's just going to need to be those sort of triggers that we go through of ultimately, as I say, a vaccine and a sense to greater normality, really, before we see that full recovery.
That's great. Thank you very much for your time today, Carl. There's some really great insight there, and there's loads to digest.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
I'm now joined by Ajith Jayawikrama, who is the founder director of Turtle Bay. Ajith, thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure, thank you.
So how are you doing? How are you settling into the new sort of way of living?
Considering, what place we are in, I am quite enjoying the lockdown. It enabled me to spend some time with the family, reflect on the business, how we should come out of it, what we can do better. So on the whole, I tried to be highly productive during that place and effective, if you like. And that is paying dividends, I feel.
Just before we start talking about things now, I think it would be worth just talking about your background in food service. I know you started off with the hugely successful Las Iguanas, right?
In the 90s, I started Las Iguanas when there were no Latin American restaurants. And I finally sold my interest in the business 2015. Then in 2011, I opened Turtle Bay. Now we have 40 plus sites trading across Britain. And that has also been a successful launch and also created a new niche, which wasn't in the British hospitality scene. So I'm pleased with both of those projects I've been involved with.
So how have you found things since lockdown began? How has it been for Turtle Bay?
So what we did during lockdown was we had already, and the key thing here was to begin to read the what's happening around you as head of the event itself, if you understand. Yeah. So which meant that we were getting ready for imminent close downs because we saw this happening in Italy and other Germany and so on and so forth. So we already had a plan, what if Boris tells us to shut the restaurants? So the day we were asked to shut the restaurant, the plan went into action. I think it was about Friday, 5 o'clock. And I think by 1 o'clock, we had all the restaurants shut, all the stock dealt with, all the people properly dealt with. Then we got onto the mode of cash preservation, staff engagement. And those were our two main concerns, really. How do we keep the business going, How do we keep it in sort of almost, mothballed the business, but not kill it? And how do we keep our teams engaged? So we spend an awful lot of time trying to think about different ways of keeping our teams engaged on a regular basis. Of course, some of that involve Zoom calls and team calls. Some of them involve competitions. Some of them involve personal letters, personal cards, gifts, and making sure everyone was okay. And so depending on the individuals, some people took it really well for the lockdown because they were getting 80% of the salary. Other people were struggling both mentally and financially. So we had sort of whilst we had policies, we responded to each one individually, depending on the person. Then my job was quite simple, which was to keep the senior team engaged and focused. So we met on Zoom 3 times a week. Everyone had their agenda points discussed, quick decisions were made. At the same time, we started liaison with our suppliers and our landlords quite early on, taking them on board and with our journey, saying, here is a way that we're going to overcome this.
So in terms of the business structure, I noticed that you launched Turtle Bay at Home. Did you see delivery as like a solution for you in the shorter term?
Not really. I think we've done the numbers. We understood the economics. We always had delivery as an ambient level of in our business, 1 or 2% of our sales in a small amount. But we felt we needed to do delivery for 3 reasons. One, to keep the brand alive and in people's minds. Second, to keep some of our teams engaged. And thirdly, to see what we can learn about reopening restaurants. So we opened 4 restaurants. And we found that even with the running on bare minimum, the break even is quite high. So I think you probably lost cash for the first 3-4 weeks. Then you sort of begun to leveling off that cash burn rate. So we eventually opened 9, and that was really done for those 3 reasons I stated earlier, and that enabled us to learn quite a lot about how do we reopen a restaurant quickly. What are the things we need to do differently, and how will the suppliers respond, how will the customers respond? So in that sense, it worked for us, but it wasn't a financial reasons we opened it. In fact, I would say giving 25% or 30% to your delivery partner is not fundamentally viable economics.
No, it sounds very challenging. Have you had to simplify your menus and anything like that?
Yeah, on the Deliveroo platforms, we did simplify the menu. We had a limited menu. That was one of the learnings we had, and the customers were quite happy. But we were in a really unique position because the Turtle Bay at Home idea was you can order the Caribbean food, you can download the Caribbean music, the reggae tunes, and you can order cocktails to go. That gave the nearest possible experience to the consumer at home as opposed to being in a restaurant.
Now the sites are beginning to open up. Are all of your sites open now?
All of our sites are open now, yeah.
That's great to hear. How have they adapted to new hygiene measures?
So the government published quite an extensive do's and don'ts and advisory notes, and it was quite a simple process of following what we needed to do. So what we decided very early on was that each individual member of staff would self-risk assess their risk assessment around COVID, and we would supply them with whatever the protective gear they wanted. But there were some rough guidelines, like if you're in a kitchen, you've got to wear a mask, yeah? If you're on the floor, you've got to wear a shield. You've got to hand sanitize every 20 minutes or wash your hands every 20 minutes. You could take the temperature measures every day, so on and so forth. So that bit we implemented that fairly well. For the consumers, we developed screens, but as you know, the social distancing rules and table sizes are forever changing. So we developed flexible screens, which we can move around the place. And if customers wish screens, we give it to them. Some tables are naturally distant enough where there is no need for a screen, but we were really leaving the safety issues to be managed in conjunction with our teams and with our consumers.
I guess with the fact that your sites are bar restaurants, does that make it even harder?
For us, it didn't make it that much harder. The reason being, we just stopped serving at the bar, which was really simple. So everyone can have a drink or a cocktail sitting in the restaurant. Because we have all this practice table service, that's our part of our brand DNA, for us to adapt to the new world was much easier than if you're a pub, for instance.
I see that you've also signed up for the Eat Out to Help Out government scheme. How have you found that to influence things?
It is highly popular, very, very popular. It has brought out a lot of people who wouldn't have otherwise gone out of their homes because they either felt economic reasons or protective reasons they didn't want to leave the home. The consumer getting used to being out and being safe is the right approach rather than being locked up. I think the sales have been very good. You know, it's almost like having three additional Friday sales in your business. I think the government's, how the scheme's being executed by the government is pretty easy for the operator to get the money back. So that's really easy. Customer understands it very easily. So on the whole, I think it's really successful. And the difficulties we probably have, and I'm probably sure it's along with other people. One of them is forecasting sales, you know, how busy it will be. It's really difficult. Supplier terms, you know, it's quite difficult for suppliers to find out how many lines to carry and what volumes. But on the whole, through hard work and working with, you know, equivalent of Bidfood and others, that we managed to overcome most of the things and not to be out of stock or 86 on many or if any products. But the other difficulty we have had is, I would say, the staffing levels. So you can imagine lockdown, we went into lockdown on winter staffing, you know, February kind of staffing.
Yeah.
And then we locked down. Obviously, during that lockdown, there was always few staff leave to start other businesses or careers or not returning to work. When we opened, we weren't necessarily had the right number of staff for to be able to deal with the Eat Out to Help Out thing that well. But we quickly responded. I think we are okay. But it's still, I think, the biggest area we're probably not. We all need to do better as an industry. I've been to other operators as well. Is that the speed of service for the customer is suffering on Monday to Wednesday.
Have you seen consumer behaviour change at all? I know we talked about people being wanting to get out of lockdown. Is it quite a celebratory feel?
I think under 40 seems to be less concerned about risk. I think we have noticed a decline in probably over 45s or over 50s. But I think they've been replaced by a younger audience. So we always had a fairly balanced age profile, so we are okay on that front. I think the generally speaking, the very first customers who are coming in were totally risk averse and they're just celebrating end of the lockdown. I think the second and third wave are a little bit more conscious, so they do want to see good practices within the restaurants.
I guess it's really difficult to save now, but do you have any sort of future predictions for the market in general?
My general prediction is brands who offer is some kind of experience. I don't mean playing golf or anything like that. I mean like it is a bit more than a meal, like Tesco. Yeah. I think we should do okay, fine, I feel, going forward. The value will come into it. Because we know unemployment and pay rises are going to be limited after furlough period ends. So again, I feel Turtle Bay will be in a good place for that. I think third thing I would say is highly differentiated. And I think Turtle Bay is highly differentiated. So therefore, we should be on that. So I am relatively optimistic about the future, considering where we were a few weeks back. But it's all cautious optimism, I would say.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for your time, Ajith. It's been really interesting to get to talk to you.
Good. Okay, then. Catch you later.
As I'm sure we can all agree, there's loads of key insights and great nuggets of information to digest from this episode. I personally thought that it was really interesting to see that there are signs that the industry is starting to find its feet again. The Eat Out to Help Out scheme has clearly been very important for helping to give consumers the confidence to go back to their favourite places. But overall, how it all develops in the future is still a really challenging thing to understand. Again, I would like to massively thank both Carl and Ajith for joining me today, and to you for listening. As well as all the other episodes in this series, we have loads of support available to help you with getting back on your feet and succeeding in a tough climate. You can find all of this information and how to become a customer through our website bidfood.co.uk, or you can find the links to everything in the episode bio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please do subscribe and rate the series on whatever platform you use. This means we can reach and support more people in the industry. Until the next episode, goodbye.